my story was bringing hope to people and also getting people to talk about their issue that they had never talked about. And some of them, I knew them and I did not know that experience. So I got determined that I will not stop sharing the story of how God never forsook me and never abandoned me.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, where we passionately are committed to offering encouragement and new ideas to those on the front lines of Christian ministry. At Romans 12 Ministries, we come alongside those leaders and families fighting for their emotional, physical, and spiritual health, for we firmly believe that healthy leaders lead healthy ministries, and where there are healthy churches and ministries, there will be transformation in communities. Welcome again to the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast.
Thank you for joining us for part two of Okongo Samson's incredible story of faith through persecution. And today, he will be sharing with us this idea of forgiving our enemies. I just want to caution you that some of the material might not be suitable for our younger listeners. Okongo Samson, it is a joy to have you here today.
It's a joy to be with you today.
Thank you so much. What a dear friend you've become. And I finished your book. And I wanted to say thank you so much for the time and effort, because I know it's not easy to write a book.
It's not easy, especially, yes, it's a story of mine, but ultimately it's God's story in a way in which he journeyed the life with me. The story I never knew when I was young, it would be. So ultimately it's God's story. So the only option that got me going was I thought to myself, okay, despite all the things that happened to me in the camp, despite what's happening in the community where people are just seeing me on a negative, at least God rescued me. I saw people who died. I had people went to the front line, never made it. And people who tried to escape and didn't make it. I escaped and I'm out here. That has to be God. So I started sharing. At least I went through that. But God really delivered me. At least he didn't forsake me. And that's what wrote the title of my book, Abducted But Not Forsaken. So God didn't forsake me while I was there. So I said, at least he is there. That story of hope that God never forsook me is what got me to start having energy, because many people started saying, I have experienced something like that, not in the army. I was raped, I was abused, and but here I am, I'm alive. I thought about dying like you're saying, but at least God is with you. And then I started seeing that my story was bringing hope to people and also getting people to talk about their issue that they had never talked about. And some of them, I knew them and I did not know that experience. So I got determined that I will not stop sharing the story of how God never forsook me and never abandoned me in the hands of the crooked terrorists. And that is how my story went from one place to another, invited from one community to another, invited from one mission to another to share the gospel, ultimately led me to move outside of Kenya. So far, I've gone to 92 countries just sharing the gospel, because it's not my story, like I said. It's God's story that he never forsakes his people, even when we are abducted in one way or another. And ultimately, that also got me into trouble in some country like Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Somalia. You know, I was put in prison in those countries, you know, Egypt and Afghanistan, because I was sharing the story that started a movement that there's hope and hope in God, and no matter what we are going through. So that basically became a movement that brought hope to so many people who are suffering and alone and angry.
Which created United for Africa.
Yeah, ultimately, as I was going through that, you know, from my experience in northern Uganda, when I left the army camp, when I escaped, a few things didn't happen. The voices of us crying and the voices of the young children, boys and girls who I left because I escaped came with me. Did not escape from me. The pain and the experience did not leave me alone. They came with me. Even as I keep on sharing the story back and moving from one place to another, and those inspired me. And then I came out sharing the story. I realized some people are not really abducted by the army, but they have a pain and a voice that just resonate with the voices that came with me from the camp. So I discover, and God revealed to me, that I was just equally suffering like most of the people. And it reached a point where I needed myself to be healed, healed emotionally, healed mentally, healed socially, because I didn't trust men. When I was walking by the roadside, I see men coming. I was terrified of any man. All I was thinking, they're going to pin me down, mount on me, and rape me. And that was not really the intention, but that shows how much I was unhealthy. So I was poor in all aspects. And I was also teased that I would be pregnant, that men get pregnant, and after 10 years, you give birth, you know, women, 9 months. So I bought that lie that it's a matter of time before I delivered a baby because I was raped. And so it's until I came to a place where God brought some men way back after going to different places who walked with me, prayed with me through, I totally healed mentally, emotionally, and physically. And spiritually, because I was angry at God, even though I was sharing the story, I was really upset with him and doubting, but I kept on sharing the story. That total healing is when I discovered really Jesus came for me. You know, so I reading the scripture, he came for the poor. And often at that time, they were saying he came for the poor, people who don't have clothes, don't have food, you know, he came to save them. But in my experience, yes, I grew up from a poor family, poor background. We didn't have food. I didn't have shoes and my leg until when I was 15, of which I was given the first shoes by a lady called Damaris. They were high heel. Now, if I wear those high heel today in my culture here in America, they'll just say, oh, look at that, whatever, black dude, gay, you know. You know, so that
or,
was,
or actually, it depends on where you are, what city, they might applaud you.
So they may, you know, which is where we are today. So I came to realize with the experience I had in Uganda and many times being in prison, so I was poor in all aspects of life. Relationally, I could not relate with people well. I thought that everyone is going to hurt me. It was as poor as it can be. Mind, I think I had even PTSD, you know, all the things you could, I wanted to commit suicide. I was poor mentally. And spiritually, I was doubting so many things because so many people had used the scripture to even justify what I had gone through or to nullify that, you know, I wasn't called enough, you know, I didn't have degree in theology back then. And so I was poor in all aspects. Then I came to realize Jesus came for the poor. And he healed them, he restored them, he delivered them, he saved them. And so that is what brought my healing. I had to depend on God and Jesus to heal me, and he restored me. That is when God led me to found the Unite for Africa, which is a ministry focused to seeing people transformed spiritually, emotionally, mentally, economically, bringing abundant life in Christ. One person at a time, one community at a time, one nation at a time. So far, I've gone to 92 countries doing that.
Well, Congo, the one that you're missing is that here's this journey of yours, this trauma, and yet then you go to school. You get educated. You get degrees. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so back then, some of my, the training, the school I went, you know, I was curious. So some of them as a result of the experience I went through. So back then, when the lie was that I'll give birth to a baby as a boy, I believed that lie. But then months were going, a few years were going, and I believed it. And I said, when will I be pregnant? Because I did not know anything. I was, so to say, primitive, backward. And so I learned that some people are doctors. I can become a doctor. So I decided, I got interested and curious to learn about how the body functioned and why am I not. That drove me to do medical. And so that's what drove me to do medical in itself. So just out of curiosity. And then I realized I can learn medical and I can teach people on how this thing works. So not to believe a lie that I believe. Up to today, so many people have a different perception about their body and other things. So that was it. Then I also came to realize that when I came back, the pastors who I shared my calamity, my disastrous trip to northern Uganda, they did not handle it well. So, and some were using the scripture, you are not anointed enough, God didn't call you, didn't hear from him, people who are called by God don't go through persecution. And yet when I was reading the Bible, I read the apostles were really persecuted. Jesus was, and he said, "No, some of you will be persecuted because of my name." Yes, I was going to Northern Uganda because of Jesus' name and the vision, and I fall into that. So I started questioning the pastors and the people in the spiritual authority with the way they were interpreting the scripture. That is what drove me to do theology. Then some people, back then we didn't have counselors, so I didn't have people who could counsel me to my healing. And so then I got exposed to so many counselors all over the world. Now, some of them really were trying to counsel me to heal, but ultimately it was Jesus who healed me. So I decided, okay, if counseling and therapy can get some people to heal, I want to learn that. So that's when I decided to kind of, I want to learn, and I got interested, I got signed up, and I did. So those are the things that that drove me to do my education, to acquire those. And I thought, like, if I could get as much as I can help people that I meet all over the world who may not have someone to really be there. And then Paul, Apostle Paul, was one of my encouraging hero up to today. He said, "I become all things to all people so I can help some or save some." So I said, if I can learn something from medical, I can help people heal medical. If I can learn more about theology and the Bible to the depth of as I can help people interpret and see the scripture and see God, they heal and restore them. If I can learn about psychology and mindset and counseling, I can counsel people so they can become healthy emotionally and mentally. So I could get all I could, and God has used those. So Paul inspired me to become all things to all people. If I can learn how to manage finances and management and administration, so I ended up going to do leadership, financial and management, so I can help people even economically, learn how to become economically healthy, because we are poor one way or another, financial, emotionally, one way. So we can bring abundant life as we equip people to transform themselves.
Oh, Congo, I feel lazy when I'm listening to all this.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
You know? I mean, it means that I need to get off my rear and be more curious.
I have good news for you.
Tell me.
Feelings are neither right nor wrong. In this case, your feeling is wrong.
Well, thank you for being so blunt. You know, one of your last chapter, I think, in the book is called Hope Sustained. And tell us a little bit about that. I don't want to give the whole book away because there's so much in it, and it's such a great read. But I was, you know, this Jamal Ahmed.
Mm-hmm. Jamal Ahmed, yeah.
What a story. Share with us a little bit.
So hope, you know, hope in God is attainable. We can attain it. And I'm not going to spoil it to the people who are reading it and the people who are hoping to read more. But, you know, to the point where I'd reach a place where I did not know whether there's hope to some people I've met in life. An example, when I was going through the process of my healing, and which was through forgiveness, I had to learn how to forgive myself, to forgive, to ask God to forgive me. And because I really denied God, questioned him, and ultimately I hurt other people along the line because I was also hurt. And then I was ultimately learning to also forgive the people who hurt me. And it's easy to do that when I'm alone and those people are not here. And I can say I forgive them, as I was led to pray. And that was the easiest thing. And I say, oh, I can do that. And in the mid of the time that I was going through this healing prayer, God spoke. And not only spoke to me, he also revealed it to the men who are taking me through this process. So he said, you know, Okongo, I want you to go back to meet the people who captured you and forgive.
Wow.
You know, ultimately, I was dealing with forgiveness at that time, and I was asking God to forgive me. And so when I heard that voice, I instantly got angry with God. You want me to go meet those people who are ruthless? I know what they are capable of doing. I just escape, and you're telling me to go back? I don't even know whether I'll meet them, you know. And I didn't have rapport with them or any conversation. This was evil, wicked thing. And then God is saying, I want you to go back and meet those people. And so I was terrified. I was angry with God again. And so then he used the people who are walking me through that path. That's God's voice. And hey, you have no any other option. You have to obey his word and his statement, his direction.
I bet you people thought you were crazy, the ones that you talked to.
I thought I was crazy, and I thought God was crazy myself. And I just was like, that is not God. And so everything was crazy. And so I was angry with myself. I just wanted to die. Actually, I made some prayer that God kill me before even I do that. You know, not my day. No, I'm not going to do it. And so it reached a point where God opened those opportunity when I was trying to even deny. And so, but he said, I'll be with you. And so it was just a tough thing. You know, so sometimes God speak words that we want to hear, but we don't want to hear, that me at least. I don't want to pay attention, but I need to pay attention, because if I don't pay attention to his word, I'm disobedient. So I'm kind of was struggling, frightened, fear. I was afraid that this time they might finish me off. But I was afraid too that if I don't honor God's word, his voice, then I'm also disobedient, and disobedience come with consequences. That's actually one of the first sin Adam and Eve did. They were disobedient to to God's word when he said do this, and they did the opposite. So I was conflicted. I was torn apart. And so God opened ways that I have expressed in my book miraculously to even meet some of the people who put me in prison and some of them who raped me in those countries. And actually, good news where hope is attainable, some of those people even sexually assaulted me and raped me multiple times are serving with Unite for Africa as our leaders in those countries in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, and Sudan. God really transformed them and forgave them just as much as he forgave me and restored them. And they are using the story of their life to even bring hope to so many people. Hope is attainable. Jamal, when God used him as a Muslim to even help me go to those Muslim countries when Christians did not want to support me because they were afraid that, no, I'm going to die. Ultimately, God brought salvation in his heart and his family. That is hope. But I did not know that God would do that through the suffering and in the manner in which I met Jamal after I left the prison in Egypt. So God has a way of doing things that only God can do. But hope is attainable.
Wow. You know, in your book, you continually talk about the Jesus way. How would you define that?
I cannot do things by myself. You know, when Jesus came, and we know his story and his life, and when he called his disciple, the first thing he said, come follow me. Really, what does that mean? So basically, when he said, you'll go to the uttermost part of the world and bring transformers, basically, I'm following him. I'm following his voice. I'm following his vision. So it has to be his way. And so Jesus commissioned us to go to the uttermost part of the world and disciple people. And he said, come follow me. So when he called the disciple, come follow me. So I cannot follow myself. I have to do it his way. His way sometimes is a little challenging. He's calling, it's like disciple. He called them, come follow me. And so they left the net and everything there, and they didn't ask, you know, what are we going to do? They just followed him. And then they started seeing miracle. They started seeing powerful teaching, you know, healing after healing. They started seeing people restored and powerful miracle happening left and right. And then he also commissioned them to go do the same, help, give the share the good news. That's the Jesus way. And everything Jesus did was unique, you know. I didn't have to be educated in order to minister. When Jesus, who is all-knowing God, he used the simplest method by sharing the story, parables, the parable that changed people's mindset, changed the worldview. So I came to realize if I can know the word of God and share a little bit of my story of how he helped me escape and delivered me from the calamities that I was, that story ultimately would be like a parable to some people that would connect people to Jesus and God and surrender their life. But every teaching of Jesus is like a script for me. So I want to do everything the Jesus way, to go and disciple people. And sometimes discipling people who are not necessarily believers. He didn't call me to go disciple believers. To disciple believers and non-believers. That's the Jesus way. And which ultimately, when I try to recruit people to go with us on a mission, and I'm telling them, we are going to this Muslim place. You know, there are no believers there. I'm not going to go. I want to go where there's a church. You know, So I want to go the Jesus way, which is to go to the uttermost part of the world, to all nations, disciple them, and bring glory to God. And of course, there's more in my book doing almost everything I try to do the Jesus way, but the bottom line is I got to follow him. You know, I don't want to follow myself, my understanding, my pain, my advice, my human. I want to follow him and completely depend on him. And doing that is the Jesus way.
Thank you for modeling that, because I see that in you. And that's an inspiration to me. I think
glory to God.
I think the, you know, Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says radically the Jesus way, you know, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who mistreat you, you know, bless those who curse you, is one of the hardest things for us to do.
Okay, it's easier for some people to read it in a Sunday service in a church where there are no enemy, but it's another thing when you're reading, going to face those enemy, the people who really hurt you directly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to, it's another thing. You know, I can tell you one thing, this is my weakness. When I read that, I say, this should have not been written. Whoever wrote this, Jesus should have not said this.
This is wrong.
Yeah, he should have not said that. I'm just upset with you, you did that. But he did it, and now I'm the beneficiary of the story of hope when we become obedient to his word. Even his word that sometimes does not sit well with our emotion, does not sit well with our mind, does not sit well with our comfort. But when we do that, we honor him and he honor his word. And to him be the glory. And he shows that he's a deliverer, a savior, a restorer. You know, he doesn't forsake us, even in the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the enemy. And so at some point when I read that in my, when I was in pain, I was saying, I hate you that you say that. I mean, but it is really the true statement that bring healing in all aspects. So I can share my story with joy because I know he has healed me, and I have hope, not only hope because I'm alive here, hope to eternity when I'll be with him.
Amen. You know, just as we finish up, I wanted to ask you, as we work with pastors and ministry leaders and families, and really all people are hurt. Mm-hmm. We're all broken.
Yes.
We've all been really damaged by other people.
Yes.
Many times unjustly. What would you say to them today?
So typically what I learn in my experience, the evil things that happened to me brought the evil spirit in me where I was hurt that I could hurt other people. But also, that's not only it, but the grace that God showed me also showed me that I can also extend grace and other people can also receive grace. Equally, like if I'm hurting, I can hurt others. Grace shown to me, I can show grace. Love shown to me, I can show that God does not forsake me. He does not even forsake the people who even are doing evil. And what was meant for evil can be used for good. Good to glorifying him. But what I ultimately can say is, even though Roman 12 and other organizations like Unite for Africa are working with pastors to help them, support them in one way or another, still it is the Jesus way. So I have come to learn, even me as a pastor, as a leader, that even though as I do that, one way or another, I'm struggling in either emotional, either financial, either mental, organizational, you know, all aspects, marriages. So pastors are not immune from this. So ultimately, all of us have poverty in our life one way or another, be it marital struggle, we are poor, we can't relate well, be it emotional based on what happened to us or what we did and what we didn't do, be it mental, you know, because of sometimes we were deployed and now God saved us, but we didn't really deal with that, be it financial, we are struggling, we are working hard all around, but we can't make ends meet, like they say in our culture here. So we have poverty one way or another. The answer is Jesus. So if Romans 12, which is a ministry God ordained and set apart here to help pastors, you know, it's a powerful because, you know, pastors like me struggle just like any other person. So we have poverty one way or another, that when we have people coming alongside, hooking up arms with us to help us become rich in Christ and experience the compassion, the grace, that's a powerful ministry that is needed today. Often, as a pastor, we've been put on a pedestal that we got it all together. We don't have a problem. We are closer to God. We are closer to Jesus. We hear direct from him. You know, we are immune from problems. And that's not necessarily true. So we also have challenges. We go through attack from the enemy wanting to rip us off from the riches and abundant life that got Jesus to come and die on the cross for us. So we all need help in one way or another to address one poverty area in our life. Some pastors struggle to have relationship better with their children. We can come, and that's an area of poverty. So with humility, we can surrender and admit that and get help and become richer eventually as we take our responsibility, but mostly trusting in Him.
Well, I know this has resonated with people. How can they get a hold of you?
Well, many people can get a hold of us by visiting our website at www.unite4africa.org. Again, www.unite4africa.org. Then you can get more information. You can reach out to us, contact us, send us a message on how we can pray for you and your family and your ministry. And also, if you need us to come and help you in any area that God has blessed us, you know, how we can equip you or advise or walk with you with accountability, integrity, and doing the Jesus way. So you can reach out to us. Also, you can reach out to us by contacting Roman 12, you know, our main partners here in the U.S., you know, and they can reach out, and because we are working, we are one body working together for God's kingdom. So you can reach out to us at any given time on our website and also our social media as well, uniteforafrica.org.
Okongo, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy having a conversation, and I really appreciate our friendship and serving together in His kingdom.
I love you.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us today at another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast sponsored by Romans 12 Ministries. For more information on Romans 12 Ministries, visit us at romans12ministries.org or give us a call at 520-982-5877. May we all continue to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.